Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
We are a couple bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we got nothing for 4K Spotlight. Absolutely jack shit. Unless you want to pick up a third version of Dirty Dance. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That came out last week. I'm sorry. Never mind. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Excuse me. So we'll just be moving into Through the Wall, where we got a couple of things to talk about. We got some Disney Plus Day announcements, as well as a certain horror movie that both Caleb and I are very excited for coming out this October. Had a huge announcement that I think will excite a lot of fans, make them happy, but let's hope it doesn't affect the box office. And then we'll be moving into our headliner after that, which will be our breakdown of Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Caleb, what do you say we get started?
I say let's do it.
Hey guys, I'm Crash, host of the podcast Crash and Taz's Movie Cellar. On our show, me and my co-host pick a new movie each week and rate each movie on a few categories that we think are important to making a great movie. After we rate the movie, it gets a final rating, and that lands it somewhere on our cellar scale, where it will get labeled as either a well, premium, or a top shelf film. Catch us on platforms like Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, and more. And don't forget to follow us on social media. On Instagram, as Crash and Taz's Movie Cellar, Crash, the letter N, Taz Movie Cellar, with underscores in between each word, and on Facebook, Crash and Taz Movie Cellar, where you, as a listener, can suggest movies for us to rate, and also give us some constructive criticism, to make the show more entertaining. Overall, don't forget to follow or subscribe, and rate and review us, and get ready for an entertaining show with us. See you guys then.
Was that very loud on your end, or was that just me?
No, it was ridiculously loud on my end, and I don't know why.
Okay. Okay, just being sure, because Vic, if I go any more deaf in my left ear, I'm gonna.
That was very that's nice not words Vic's for you. Fault. That's
I know.
Not
I'm just
fault.
Kidding.
I don't know I why it was that loud.
Shit. Anyway, so like I said, nothing for 4K Spotlight. So we're moving straight into Through the Wall, where we got a couple of Disney Plus Day announcements. And Caleb, do you by chance have those pulled up?
I will here in a second.
Okay, cool. I know one that we got. We got our first like official look at how Pinocchio was gonna look like in the live action version.
Was that like Thoughts? A full blown trailer?
I think it was. I mean, it wasn't released to the public, but I think they did showcase a full trailer.
Dude, what the hell? Like I saw it on TikTok, but it only showed, like, the opening scene with Tom Hanks and then the blue fairy. And then it, like, cut off. So I didn't see anything else other than that.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't even... I thought nothing was released for it.
Yeah, I mean, they've just been promoting it on TikTok lately, but... Yeah, I don't know what the hell... is up with that.
Yeah. But what are your thoughts on how... Oh, you haven't seen how Pinocchio looks?
Like, the picture? Like, is it a picture?
Yeah, it's a picture.
Oh, that's like his comic... Or not comic. What the hell am I talking about? That's as accurate as you can possibly get, though, right?
It is. I feel it might be a little too accurate because it really, like, it looks too CGI. Like, I don't know. He doesn't even look like he's a puppet anymore. Maybe it's just me.
Well, okay, listen. You gotta remember. You gotta remember.
He's about to school me in Pinocchio.
No, not even that. You gotta remember, this is going straight to Disney Plus. They are not going to drop the big money budget that they are going to with, like, something that's getting released in theaters.
See, but I hate when studios do that. They're just since it's going on streaming, we're not going to pay the big
Lady
budget.
Remember Lady and the Tramp?
God damn it, fair enough.
Yeah, that didn't have a super high budget. The CGI, you could totally tell it was kind of fake. Was the movie bad? No, it wasn't.
Okay. Fair enough.
Freaking loud-ass cat, dude.
Yeah, I know he is. But I love him to death. I just gotta make sure he doesn't hop up on me. Anyway, Okay, fair enough. So I guess we'll see how this translates to this movie. I just want them to release the damn trailer so I can actually see him in motion.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, come on. Dude, like, what I'm surprised is with, like, how accurately they went with Pinocchio. What the hell happened with Jiminy Cricket?
That is an excellent question.
Like, they kind of dropped the ball with him. Like, I'm like, hey, if you're going, like, show accurate, like, go show accurate.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, fair enough. Wait, what the? I love how when I type in Pinocchio 2022, the first thing that pops up is not that picture. It's a freaking new Dark Pinocchio Souls-like gameplay. That's what they're showcasing, not freaking the Disney live-action version of Pinocchio. That's freaking hilarious. Literally, it's all about that, except for two articles about Pinocchio.
Jeez.
Wow. Anyway, were you able to get that list pulled up?
Yes, I was.
Sweet.
So, first up, like we said, Pinocchio is going to be one of the big releases. Cars on the Road is going to be another release. So that's
I still haven't watched that trailer.
You're not missing a lot. It's just Lightning McQueen and Mater deciding to go on a road trip. So that's what it's going to be. Like, it's just going to be a series of shorts of Mater and Lightning McQueen's road trip.
Okay.
Like, going from place to place.
I enjoy those two characters together for the most part. They've had some moments I hated them. Cars 2! Excuse me. But hopefully, as long as it's better than Cars 2, then we're okay.
Yeah. I'll definitely check this one out. The next one is the Dancing with the Stars Most Memorable Dances. Who gives a shit about that?
It's true. I haven't watched that show since I watched it with my grandma when I was a child.
Yeah. Let's see. Epic Adventures with Birdie Gregory. Don't know what that's about. Frozen Sing Along and Frozen 2 Sing Along. Other thing called
with
Growing
that,
Up.
I... Sorry.
No, wait, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say, I'm amazed that freaking... I'm just shocked that Encanto got a Sing Along version on Disney Plus before Frozen and Frozen 2 did.
I think it's just because it's newer, so it's like everyone like wants to watch that one. So I think it's just they're working their way backwards.
Fair enough.
Yeah, then there's this show called Growing Up. Or
sucks. I'm just kidding.
It's like a docu-series about adolescence with 10 compelling coming-of-age stories.
I'm actually interested. I love coming-of-age stories, so I'm
I know you're kind of a sucker for those. But yes, I mean, it'll be nice. So it's like 10 different stories and they're going to be 30 minutes each.
Sorry, how many minutes each?
30. So a good half hour per episode. So it's not like a movie or nothing.
Okay.
But yeah, then let's see. She-Hulk episode 4 will come out. Which, yes. I don't know if you've seen episode 1 yet.
Oh, didn't we talk about this?
I forget if I talked about it with you or DJ.
No, yeah, we talked about it.
Dude, so freaking good.
Yeah, dude. Like I told Caleb,
but it was good.
I was okay with that. I mean, honestly, only the first episode in, and after I had to wait for the whole show to finish, but this might come in second behind Hawkeye for my favorite MCU show.
Oof. That's a good call. Let's see. We got the Thor Love and Thunder will be coming out. The making of Thor Love and Thunder will be coming out. I want to give that movie another watch, because
I do too.
It's like I'm not quite sure I liked it as much as I think I did.
Really?
I want to go back. I want to go back figure that one out.
Have you watched any of the other making of documentaries they've done on Marvel stuff?
Oh, I watch all of them.
Okay, hell yeah.
Dude, I freaking love the making of shit.
I've only seen the one for Eternals and Hawkeye.
The one for Shang-Chi was pretty bitchin'.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's check that one out.
Let's see. I feel like I got tricked. It's called Obi-Wan Kenobi, A Jedi's Return, which is basically just a making of.
Dude, I thought the same thing when I first saw that announcement on Facebook. I'm like, holy shit, they're doing something else? No, damn, it's just a freaking making of.
I know, I was like, oh shit, next season, bitch.
Just call it The Making of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Don't try to, drop this fancy shit on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's another show called Remembering, which this one's supposed to be pretty cool. So it's supposed to have, so it's a movie about a writer played by Brie Larson, who is writing a story but forgets what her idea was when her phone rings. And the cool thing is it has an augmented reality app. And so you can use it to shine, put it on the movie. Hmm. And it will give you stuff to look at within the movie itself. Like, it'll be triggered by certain scenes. And then you can do an AR experience. It seems interesting.
Hmm.
So I'm really interested in seeing that, because I'm super for the AR augmented reality shit. So that seems pretty cool. I'm definitely going to be checking that out. Let's see. A Welcome to the Club. It's a new short from The Simpsons. And then another series called Tierra Incognita. And I don't know too much about that. It is a Latin-based show series. Cool. So, pretty cool.
I'd say a pretty solid lineup.
Yeah. Seems like a really cool lineup. Definitely some things I'm more excited for than others, but I think for the most part, this is one of the better Disney Plus days that we've had.
Fair. I can't remember what dropped last year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the only things that I remember that dropped the first Disney Plus day when it, officially dropped is the live action Lady and the Tramp, and then that Christmas movie Noelle.
Yeah, those are the only ones, and that's just because those are really good.
Yeah, Noelle. Oh yeah, Noelle doesn't get enough love. That was a really fun Christmas movie.
That was a great Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's everything for Disney Plus Day.
All right, cool. Well, moving on from that, Jamie Lee Curtis blessed us with some awesome news for Halloween Ends today. She made a really like sweet video about her talking about how it's been like a privilege to have been able to play Laurie Strode for 4 decades, and you know, just talking about how she thinks that this is a fitting conclusion to this saga. Even though we all know it's not going to be the end, it's going to be the end of Laurie Strode, but I'm sure that since the rights go back to the Akkad family after this, I'm sure in a couple of years Michael Myers will be back. But she says that because last year with Halloween Kills, you know, with the pandemic and everything, they decided to release Halloween Kills not only in theaters but also on Peacock on the same day, so day and date. And because of the success that they had with that one, not only at the box office, but also in the streaming numbers, they have decided to also do that with Halloween Ends. So on October 14th, you can watch Halloween Ends, not only in theaters, but also on Peacock.
That's going to be the shit.
Unfortunately, probably going to get a lot more, pirating it, unfortunately.
But you got to think, like, if they're willing to release it on Peacock, like, how bad did the pirating affect their numbers? Probably not all that much.
Fair enough. That's a good point.
Like, I think if it affected them too much, I think they would have been like, hey, no, like, we're releasing it in theaters. But just the fact that they are willing to release this on streaming is a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, I know with Universal right now, they've been doing the, I think it's like a 45-day window, where they'll release it in theaters, but then a month and a half later, it will come to streaming, and you can pay like $20 to rent it. Because it happened with the Black Phone a couple months ago, and it happened with the Bad Guys and everything. But this is the first one in a while that they're doing that. No, you don't have to pay to rent it on stream. If you have Peacock Premium, you can watch it that way, or you can go see it in theaters.
Yeah, dude, freaking the Peacock subscriptions are gonna freaking skyrocket.
I hope so. Considering, I mean, yeah, this is the final time that Jamie Lee Curtis will ever play Laurie Strode, so.
Hell yeah.
It's really sad to think. I don't want this to end. All I know is this better be the goriest and bloodiest showdown in history. And they have Freddy versus Jason to go up against, so they got a lot to live up to when it comes to gory showdowns.
Straight up. Yeah, so we're definitely freaking doing that. Like, yes. Opening weekend.
Yes, I'm so excited. Yeah, they say that,
No, I was just saying, from some forums that I follow, Big Screen is starting to look into offering a in-app browser.
Well, it's about damn time.
Yeah, so as soon as they do that, we'll be able to watch Peacock from the Big Screen app. So I'm hoping that they knock that out fairly soon.
Yeah, before
if October. Not, we'll have to figure something out.
Okay. We'll make it work. We'll make it work. I hear some people are saying that with this announcement that we'll probably be getting another trailer soon.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch it, or are you going to try and avoid?
See, that's the problem with me. I'm like, I don't want to see any more, but at the same time, I do.
I know, I'm such that's a trailer whore. That's my problem.
Yeah, too. Right. I avoid TV spots if I can.
Yeah.
But trailers...
That's where I draw the line. TV spots, yeah. I will not watch, but I'm a sucker for a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially with Halloween, yeah, I'm sure I'll be watching the second trailer. God damn it.
love how we always seem to go with, like, oh, this isn't happening, or, like, Oh, what was I saying? I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, like how with trailers, we always seem to be like, yeah, this is the last one I'm watching. And then we talk about like the next trailer, like the following episode. And we're like,
yeah, dude.
See that like, trailer?
But I hope that they learn when we do get a second trailer. I hope that, because I feel the first trailer did such a great job of like giving you what you want to see, but like not giving away like literally anything at all. Which is what you want in a movie trailer. And so I'm hoping the same thing happens with the second trailer, because they gave away way too much in the Halloween Kills trailers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they gave away
too freaking much.
Don't get me wrong, it was cool seeing the trailers, but I would have loved to have seen the Michael slaughtering all of those firefighters on the big screen for the first time and not in the trailer.
Oh, dude. Absolutely. Abso-frickin-lutely.
Because I think I've already said this on the podcast, but every single time when the firefighters is literally just, he like looks over in the distance and he says, what the F is that? And you just see Michael Myers walk through the burning door in slow-mo, and oh my god, it's so beautiful. I love it. And just the heavy breathing and yeah.
Yeah, that was frickin' borderline iconic.
Have you seen the I don't know if you follow Nick Castle at all, but did you see his post a couple weeks ago?
That I did not.
So he shared the image of him, because I guess when he does the breathing for Myers, he takes his hands like this and he takes his hands and clasps them together and does the breathing that way. And so he was doing that, and he said, breathing life into the shape one last time. I'm just like,
that is so cool.
Yeah, I'm like, that's sad, but, you know, that's awesome. That I'm really happy that they brought the original Michael Myers back to have a part in this trilogy. So
absolutely. Like, that just kind of adds a level of just special to a
yeah,
film
I agree.
Like that.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And his freaking breathing is iconic as Myers. but that's, unless you got anything else you want to say about Halloween Ends.
No, I'm really excited. I'm so happy that I get to see this on streaming. So that's going to be freaking awesome.
Dude, like, honestly, and I think I will go see it in the theaters also eventually, but just, it seems every single time since, and I think I've already said this, ever since COVID, or like, since the movie theaters reopened after COVID, every single time I go, my movie experience is ruined because someone pulls out a phone. Every single freaking movie I go see.
Yup.
And it's really frustrating.
Dude, I swear to God, of people.
Yeah. I swear to God, if anyone pulls one out for Halloween Ends, that bitch is going into my hand and that bitch is getting freaking chucked across the freaking room.
Dude, how funny would it be if we're watching it in big screen if they, like, had a phone, prop that you can grab?
Caleb, all I can say is, don't you fucking dare. That's all I'm gonna say.
That'd be hilarious, though.
I'll be on the next flight out there to bitch slap you.
I believe it. I absolutely believe that. But yeah, nothing else from me about Halloween Ends.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, in that case, what do you say we move on to our headliner?
I say, let's do it.
Alright, so for this week's headliner, we'll be breaking down Mr. Peabody and Sherman. And I know this is way out of left field for us, because we said that we were going to do Nope. But that did not happen. unfortunately, but we still got a very good movie to talk about, and the way that this came across us reviewing is really kind of funny, because Caleb said that he was looking for something to watch with Iris, and he couldn't find anything on Hulu or Netflix or Paramount Plus or even Disney Plus, so he goes on Peacock, and he finds Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and he's like, hey, Rose has a soft spot for that movie, so I turned it on, and he messaged me, hey, Rose, let's break down Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and I'm just like, hell yeah. Always take it. I will take any opportunity I can to talk about that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great movie, and we'll be getting into that. But yeah, I've kind of been in a tough spot this week and last week.
The joys of being a father.
Yeah, I'm kind of living that single parent life. For these past 2 weeks.
You're doing great.
Yeah, because my wife took a trip to Utah for a week, and she left a little earlier than expected, so I had to record with Iris being alone, and then I'm doing the same thing today, because she gets back supposedly tomorrow, and yeah, so I need to have like all this shit done. Out of the way. But
fine.
Yeah, we'll be back to like adult movies. But I mean, maybe. I mean, we freaking,
I was gonna say, I love how you say that. Oh yeah, and we've also done Encanto, and we've done quite a bit of child movies.
Yeah,
kids movies.
But yeah, so this is just one of those ones where I'm like, dude, I can't go see the movie that we're supposed to talk about. So eventually we'll stop promising that we'll do. Nope.
You know what? We should have done Minions, considering you went and saw that with Iris.
That would have been a funny one to do, too.
Saying, if you ever wanted to do that one, I'll pay to go see it in theaters. I don't care.
Yeah, it's, spoiler alert, not that special.
I mean, but it's a Minion movie. Like, is anyone really that surprised?
Maybe I'll make it like one of the mini recommendations that we do on TikTok.
There we go.
I like which that. You can follow at the Elbros. Anyway,
the wait.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's that? Okay, so, Caleb, do you want to tell everybody how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects. With this being an animated movie, it's more going to be about the animation, music, costumes, and then our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up and thrown into our algorithm and spat out a letter grade for us to compare it to other movies. So with that, if you have not seen Mr. Peabody and Sherman, you have had 8 years to do so.
Yeah.
So yep. I think
had 8 you, years.
Yeah. I think, you're past the point of being able to bitch about it if we spoil it for you.
Yeah, he's right. He's right.
Yeah. So, Rose is about to read the entire synopsis. So, if you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert now. And, yeah. Take it away, Rose.
All right. Mr. Peabody is a gifted anthropomorphic dog who lives in a penthouse in New York City with his adopted human son, 7-year-old Sherman, and tutors him by traveling throughout history using the Wayback. They visit Marie Antoinette in Versailles during the French Revolution in 1789. Getting caught in the Reign of Terror, Peabody is nearly sent to the guillotine to be executed by Maximilien Robespierre. I butchered his first name. But escapes with Sherman through the Paris sewers. In the present day, Sherman attends the Susan B. Anthony School on his first day while Peabody struggles to come to terms with Sherman's growing maturity as he fears of losing his bond with him. Sherman's knowledge of the apocryphal nature of the George Washington cherry tree anecdote leads to a fight with one of his classmates, a bossy girl named Penny Peterson, in the cafeteria where she puts him in a chokehold, accusing him of being a dog since he was raised by Peabody. Peabody is called in by Principal Purdy, as Sherman had bitten Penny in self-defense, and also confronted by Miss Grunion, a Child Protective Services agent who suspects that Sherman's behavior is due to being raised by a dog, and plans to visit their home. Okay, they've effed this up. There are way too many twos. Plans to visit their home to investigate whether or not he is an unfit parent. Peabody invites Penny and her parents, Paul and Patty, over for a dinner party before Miss Grunion arrives. Penny calls Sherman a liar for claiming first-hand knowledge of history. Despite Peabody's contrary instructions, Sherman shows Penny the way back to show proof and takes her into the past where she stays in ancient Egypt in 1332 BCE to marry King Tut. Sherman returns to get Peabody's help. Peabody hypnotizes the Petersons and heads to Egypt to stop the wedding. Penny initially refuses to leave, hoping to achieve Tut's riches after he dies, until she is informed that she as well will be killed alongside Tut during the wedding and escapes with Peabody and Sherman. While trying to return, the Wayback runs out of power, so they stop at Renaissance Florence in 1508, where they meet Leonardo da Vinci and Lisa del... Oh my god, I'm gonna butcher this so bad. Del Giocondo? Sure. Okay, I feel bad. Pioneering Mona Lisa's famous smile. Penny and Sherman explore Da Vinci's attic and find his flying machine. Penny goads Sherman into flying it, which he manages to do before crashing. Da Vinci is thrilled the device works, but Peabody is upset that Sherman was almost killed while also having destroyed a historical artifact. When they resume their journey, Sherman learns of Miss Grunion's plot to take him away and enters a fight with Peabody. As they feud, a black hole in time makes them crash land during the Trojan War in 1184 BCE. Upset about Peabody not trusting him, Sherman runs away and joins the army of King Agamemnon in the Trojan Horse, but reconciles with him during the battle. During the final parts of the Trojan War, Penny and Sherman are trapped inside the horse as it rolls towards a ravine. Peabody saves them, seemingly dies during the attempt, causing Sherman to break down in tears while Penny comforts him. Feeling bad for his actions, Sherman decides to go home and pilots the way back to a few minutes before they left in the present to get Mr. Peabody's help to fix everything, despite Peabody's earlier warnings to never return to a time when they existed. As Sherman and Penny try to explain the situation, Sherman's earlier self shows up. When Grunion arrives, Peabody tries to conceal from the Petersons the presence of two Shermans, but the second Peabody arrives back from ancient Troy, complicating the situation. Troy Peabody reveals he survived the crash, much to Sherman's relief. Grunion attempts to collect both Shermans, but they and the Peabodys merge, which generates a massive cosmic shockwave. Grunion grabs Sherman and hurts him while attempting to take him away. The enraged Peabody bites Grunion in retaliation, and she calls the New York Police Department. Peabody, Penny, and Sherman race to the Wayback, but cannot time travel from a rip in the space-time continuum caused by the merging of their cosmic doubles. The collision causes a portal to appear above New York, and historic objects and figures, many from earlier parts of the story, rain down everywhere in the city. Mr. Peabody crash lands the Wayback in Grand Army Plaza at the base of Tecumseh Sherman's statue. Historical figures and police officers quickly surround them while Grunion calls in animal control to arrest Peabody. Sherman explains everything was his fault, but Grunion contends that it is all because a dog cannot raise a boy. Sherman counters with, if being a dog means being as loving and loyal as Peabody is, then he is proud to be a dog as well. Penny, her parents, the historical figures, and others all make the same pledge. George Washington grants Peabody a presidential pardon, which is supported by Abraham Lincoln and Bill Clinton, forcing the authorities to leave Mr. Peabody alone.
Leading to possibly one of the best jokes in a children's movie.
Yep. When larger objects such as the Sphinx, the RMS Titanic, and the Florence Cathedral begin falling through the rib, the people of the present and the past are forced to brainstorm ideas to prevent disaster. Peabody and Sherman take off in the way back and travel into the future for a few minutes, successfully undoing the damage. The historical figures are dragged back to their respective times with Agamemnon abducting Grunion back to his own time as she vows revenge on Peabody. Sherman returns to school, having become great friends with Penny, and finally begins to develop his relationship with Peabody further, officially referring to him as father. History has become contaminated with modern traits. Tut throwing a New York-themed party, Da Vinci and Del Giocondo pioneering pop art, Washington and Benjamin Franklin competing over the value of the banknotes with their respective faces on them, Albert Einstein becoming enraged when he is unable to solve a Rubik's Cube, Robespierre failing to use a taser properly, and Grunion and Agamemnon married in the Trojan horse by Odysseus after Grunion accepts his love. Oh my god, I butchered that so bad. That's one of my worst ones in a while. Jeez.
Yeah, that one wasn't ideal. But you did your best, and that's why we love it.
Whew.
Jeez, kind of a complicated story. When you, like,
A little bit. I didn't think it was this complicated, but, you know, I mean, I know, kudos to whoever like wrote this.
But yeah, they overall, I think the movie like works pretty well. Like being like an asshole critic, though, I think it starts to fall apart when you kind of get into the nitty gritty details of it. I think they just try to throw way too much into it. It just kind of like not like. They overflow the cup a little bit. And it just kind of, the story seems very full. And it's like a lot of like mini micro stories.
Fair enough.
And so it just kind of feels like cluttered a little bit.
Yeah, that's, I will admit, honestly, my favorite part, like, I feel like the first 20 minutes are my favorite part, and that's just because it's mostly focusing on just Peabody and Sherman. I feel once, like, they go to the dinner party and everything, I get what they were trying to do, you know, like, they have to come up with a good way for to use the way back and everything for the plot, but I agree with you, it does kind of get a little wishy-washy. I don't know if that's a good way to explain it. But just it just feels like they're trying to do so much in so little time.
Yeah, I think something that would have been interesting for them to do, like alternatively, because I mean, did Mr. Peabody and Sherman in the original show, did they time travel?
That yes, you know they did. Of?
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. I think what I would have done, because it just felt like a continuation of the story, like, from the original show, it just felt like a continuation, so it's just like, hey, like, they're still time traveling or whatever. I think because this is a brand new experience for younger viewers, I think they should have just gone solely with it being for the purpose of educating Sherman. I think what they could have done was show that Mr. Peabody can basically do anything, and then he's teaching this boy how to do everything, but he goes to school, and he comes home with a bad history test, and so he's just like, the best way to learn is to experience it, and so he goes, and then he, like, builds the way back, and then they have their adventures that way.
You know what? That's actually, yeah, I don't know. I would have loved to see Mr. Peabody. Like, I don't know. I would have loved the focus of the movie to be how Mr. Peabody got the idea for... I mean, he does explain why he got the idea for the way back, but I would love to see the actual process into building it.
Yeah. I don't know if, like, the process of building it would have been super interesting. It could have been a good, like, montage, fair. Though.
That's true. But no, I get where you're coming from, because I know in the original show, God damn it. I swear they did something like that with you, with like how you're saying, like with Sherman's math test, or sorry, history test. I swear they did something like that. But just, yeah. I agree with you, like something like a reason for them to go back in time because of Sherman makes more sense.
Yeah, I think that would have been a little bit better. And then you get into, like, the full-blown, the hijinks of, like, the time travel. And I think you could have had the same story where maybe each time that they traveled because of something Sherman broke or whatever was causing ripples in time. And then, like, when they eventually went back to their time, then it's like the grand portal opened. And then they had to basically just do exactly what they did in this one. It's just changing the catalyst of this movie instead of it being like, because it just felt like that time travel thing wasn't super important until it was.
Fair enough.
Like, there was no reason for them to, like, other than it's like, hey, they used to time travel, so now they're time traveling here. But Sherman has to go to school, and he's getting bullied, and he invites, like, the family over to, like, resolve this conflict. And then she calls, or then the little brat bitch calls Sherman a liar. And so he has to prove to her that they do have a time machine. It just feels very convoluted.
What slime that always like makes me mad is that, you know, with you how Penny like tells Sherman, oh yeah, you're a liar, the whole when he first shows her the way back and he's just like, oh, you know, Mr. Peabody says I can't drive it until I'm older, and she's just like, you listen to everything that Mr. Peabody says, do you know what that makes you? He's like, an obedient son. He's like, no, a dog. I'm like, no, that makes him an obedient son.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, like, she's just doubling down on her friggin' bullying.
Yeah, seriously. Like, we get it. He's a dog, but he's a different kind of dog.
Yeah, it did. I did not care for it. I would have eliminated the Penny character altogether.
I honestly would have too.
Because it's just, like I said, it just gets too, it becomes too much. And you're just like, okay, now we're dealing with this. Now we're dealing with, because, like, what I'm also thinking too is, like, when they got trapped in, like, the Renaissance with Da Vinci, and then they're, like, building this machine to charge the way back. Like, what the hell was up with that? Like, it was very, and I know this is a kid's movie, and I'm not going to be docking it, like, super harsh. It's just little things I feel they could have improved upon immensely would have really, really helped with the overall flow of the story. It just felt like they were trying to cram too much in here. And I think that they could have had the exact same story of Peabody and Sherman and their, like, growth together as a father and son unit. You could have had all of that in a much different story.
Yeah, I agree. Because the relationship they set up between Peabody and Sherman is fantastic. It's a great father-son dynamic.
Yeah, they did a great job with that. Like, it was so fun to watch. And it's interesting to see how at the beginning of the movie, it does really kind of start off like feeling like Sherman is just like Peabody's ward or something.
Yeah.
And then how it eventually grows to feel like a little bit more fatherly.
Yeah.
So I think the movie did an excellent job with that. It's just, like I said, it's just plot-wise, eh.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they wanted to go, like, grand scale for a Mr. Peabody and Sherman movie, and this was probably the only way they could think, like, oh, you know, like, how we can we get it to where, you know, like, they mess up the past, and so all of a sudden all these famous historical figures literally just crash land into New York at the end. Just, like, I get you want it to, you want to make it big, especially because I feel that a lot of people did not watch Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Because, if I'm being honest, like, this was my first introduction to these characters. I didn't watch the shorts until after this movie. I know that they were always attached with Rocky and Bullwinkle. And of course I watched that. I get that they probably wanted to try to be like, oh, hey, you know, like, let's make this big scale so maybe that can get people to watch the old cartoons after they see this movie. But I feel that they could have still kept it more tame, but still had a great story.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you on that one. Yeah. I think if you really wanted to include Penny in this, maybe have that conflict where Penny's calling Sherman a liar because he's sharing, like, hey, like, me and my, like, me and Mr. Peabody have traveled into the past. And then she's like, liar. And then have her, like, see the truth. Like, see, we actually have a time machine and, like, all that. At the end, after their, like, big adventure. Like, kind of wrap that little side story up. Like, if you really wanted to include Penny.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Like, it would have, Penny just kind of threw a wrench in everything. And it wasn't great. And I think that's more of a writing issue, so I'm not going to dock because of Penny yet. But I will be docking because of Penny. So, personally, with story, I think I'm sitting around like an 84.
Okay. I'm going to go 1 point higher than you. 85.
Yeah, like, I totally understand, like we've stated, we're not the target audience for this, and I think it made enough sense for kids, but from a critic's perspective, it had issues. Yeah. And I think if we were being, like, complete and utter assholes, I'd be down in, like, the 70s. But we give
fair
scores on this podcast. Or as fair as we feel they deserve, and because we're not the target audience and it made enough sense for kids, that's why I think it scored as high as it did.
Yeah, agreed.
Alright, next up we got writing. Dude, the freaking jokes in this were pretty good.
Yeah, there is literally only one joke that I rolled, and that's just because I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, they gotta have some, you know, funny kid humor, and it's just the Sherman saying, like, oh, well, you can't marry King Tut because, first of all, his name rhymes with butt. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, I have such a weird sense of humor because it's either, like, super dark, twisted shit, or it's dad jokes. So for me, Mr. Peabody's dad jokes landed every single time. I freaking loved his jokes.
I mean, but he makes some really good ones. The freaking, oh, but you know what they say, if first you don't succeed, Troy, Troy again.
Like, I know!
I love it.
Dude, I was laughing so hard with shit like that. Dude, dad jokes just hit my funny bone. Like, something awful.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And then, oh my gosh. And then, like, we kind of, like, led into it while you were reading the synopsis. The Bill Clinton joke? Holy shit.
Oh my
dude.
God. I can't believe they even put this joke in the movie, but boy, am I happy they did.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, when Mr. Peabody is getting the presidential pardon for biting the social worker from George Washington, and it gets endorsed by Abraham Lincoln, Bill Clinton comes off to the side and he's like, yeah, I've done worse things. Dude, I laughed so hard, it scared Iris.
Oh, shit.
That was so freaking funny. I can't believe they got away with putting that in the movie.
Dude, you know what would have been like the tipping of the iceberg is if they had freaking Hillary Clinton in the background just going like,
Oh my gosh. Like the freaking cat from Puss in Boots.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
That would just be so great.
Oh, speaking of, just like total side note, that cat is in the new Puss in Boots movie.
Yes. Yeah. Did that just solidify that we have to review that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Freaking lootly.
Cool, cool.
Anyway, getting back on track. Like, if I didn't bring it up now, I would have forgotten.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the writing. Like, not all the jokes landed. I think the, like, whenever Mr. Peabody would make a dad joke, and Sherman would laugh and be like, I don't get it.
Yeah, that got old fast.
I think the first two times it was funny, but after the third, it was like, okay, dude, like, stop.
And really quick, I want your opinion. Why is it so funny, or why do people think it's funny to have babies' naked bums shown in animated films? I don't find that funny. Okay. I don't find it that cute.
It's...
I mean, don't give me... Like, I'm not... I don't know. I'm trying to sound like a dick here. But, I mean, I will fully admit, like, when... So, in the movie, when Mr. Peabody's going through this whole montage of Sherman growing up, there's a part where Gandhi is holding Sherman and his diaper falls down. I maybe giggled a little bit, but just, I don't know, like, I'm not the biggest fan of those kind of things. I will admit, though, it's a better representation of doing something like that than the frickin' Boss Baby when they sprinkle the powder on his bum and then they touch his butt and then he farts it. I'm like, that's not funny. That's gross.
You gotta think, Rose, we're not the target audience for this. To kids, butts are funny.
Nah, okay. Good point.
And it's either...
I feel like, the Boss Baby does a little too much, though.
Yes, absolutely. But you gotta think, too, like, they can't do adult butts.
True. I'm just amazed that they can do kid butts.
I know. I think they just need to get away from doing butts in general. Like, if you want to do fart jokes and, like, whatever, like, have at it. But...
Yeah. No more naked bums.
Yeah. You know what I think would be even funnier than just, like, straight up just butts? If you did, like, the plumber's crack. I think plumber's crack jokes are so much funnier than bare butt jokes.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun with freaking jokes like that. But I digress. But yeah, like, where, script-wise, where I think this movie kind of falls apart is with Penny. Penny sucks. God.
Seriously. And yes, we know that the movie tries to redeem her at the end. No. Still hated her. Hater.
Dude, it, like, the crush that Sherman has on Penny, why?
Yeah, exactly.
It should have come out that Penny has a crush on Sherman.
That would have made more sense.
That would have made way more sense. And it's like, yeah, she was making fun of him because she likes him. Like, that would have tracked so much better than Sherman being like, maybe I like Penny. Why?
Yeah. She's a little shit to you.
She has given you no reason to like her. Yeah. Sherman, be better. Ugh, man.
And honestly, for the amount of times that she disrespects his father, like, oh my god, she's such a little shit.
Yeah. Dude, I was like, when she was friggin' making, like, those dog comments in ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
I was just like, bitch, he could bite you and be completely in the right.
And the fact that, like, she pushes that whole, like, fight that Peabody and Sherman have in the way back, and, like, how she put it so much into his head that, oh, whenever Peabody talks to me, it's like he thinks that I'm a dog. And it's so sad that it got to the point that Peabody had to say, no, Sherman, you're not a dog. You're just a very bad boy.
Yeah, I know. Dude, she's the worst. Like, it was such bullshit plot issues. Like, you could have gone around, like, gotten the same result in a much better way.
Absolutely.
Like, you did not need Penny to freaking throw the wrench in it, because she just becomes super unlikable. Like, even at the end, I still didn't like her, even after she had, like, supposedly been redeemed.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
So, I mean, I'm not docking a ton for her, because I think the jokes overall landed fairly well, and the dialogue was pretty decent. Like, I really enjoyed the discussion between Peabody and Da Vinci, talking about, like, Sherman growing up and kind of, like, having to find his own way and all that. Like, I love that.
Same here.
Like, they had a lot of, like, really good, solid, heartfelt moments, and that, along with the amazing jokes, like, puts me fairly high with the writing. Like, where are you sitting at?
I'd say I'm slightly lower than the story, and, I mean, I agree with you with the...
Really?
It's Penny. She really kills it for me.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go an 83.
Damn, I did not think that I was gonna be nicer to this movie than you.
I mean, this is just the writing, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm actually going the opposite direction. I'm heading to, like, an 87
okay.
for writing. Eh, no, I'm gonna give it an extra point. I'm gonna go 88. I think I enjoyed it. Just enough, like, more than you, to give it that high.
Okay.
All right, moving on over to acting, we have Ty Burrell, who voiced Mr. Peabody, Max Charles, who voiced Sherman, and then we have Ariel Winter, who voiced Penny Peterson. Those are, like, the main big names. Any other, like, big names that you can think of, or
I mean, all I can think of is Stephen Colbert, who played Penny's dad. Didn't Jenny Slate play her mom? No, not Jenny Slate.
No, Leslie Mann.
That's who, thank you. Leslie Mann. And then, oh my god.
Oh, what's Dude, her I name? Don't know what it is. Leslie Mann has an amazing, like, cartoon voice.
She does. It's so good. She needs to do more voiceover work.
I think she does. Like, don't get me wrong, I love her acting, but I think she does much better with her, like, the animated stuff.
I agree. I can't remember. Allison Janning. That's her name. Plays Miss Grunion.
I love Allison.
Is
it Janie or... Oh, Janie.
Janie, thank you.
Allison Janie. Oh my gosh, dude. I love her.
She plays a, once again, a bitch so well. Oh my god, I freaking hated her. but I loved her.
Dude, she does so good. Like, she played, like, it seems like any cart or animated role that she has, she's playing that. Like, she was playing the head of the homeowners association in Over the Hedge. She was the freaking remodel it lady from the Addams Family.
She was. I forgot about that.
I think the only one that I can think of off the top of my head where she wasn't like horrible was when she was playing the starfish in Finding Nemo.
Oh my, dude! I totally forgot that was her.
I've watched a lot of the old Disney movies lately.
I love it.
Yeah, so I freaking love Allison Janney, dude. She's an American treasure.
She is. Oh my god, I love her so much.
But yeah, her Miss Grunion was freaking scary, dude.
Yeah, oh my god. Terrifying.
Yeah. Didn't like that at all. those kind of cover the big ones. Trying to think if they had like any other like big names. Doesn't look like it.
I don't know if you noticed this.
Oh,
freaking! Oh, sorry.
No, sorry. You go.
No, I was gonna say freaking Stanley Tucci played Leonardo da Vinci. I did not know that. That is awesome.
That
is awesome.
And then, of course, we know with Agamemnon, voiced by Patrick Warburton. Like, I mean, can you get any better than that?
Yes. Oh, my God.
He's like, such so a good. Like, great artist. Cast. An amazing cast. Like, even Penny. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Penny, but it is not the actress's fault.
No, it's literally the lines that she was given. Yeah. But she does a great job conveying that, oh yeah, you're supposed to hate me. I'm a little shit.
Yeah. And somehow it kind of makes it funnier that Ariel Winter voiced Penny, because she plays Alex Dunphy in Modern Family with Ty Burrell.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I am interested to hear your top three.
All right, here it goes. Number three, I'm going to give to Allison Janney for Miss Grunion. Two, I will give to Max Charles for Sherman. And number one, I have to give to Ty Burrell for Mr. Peabody. I freaking love his voice so much as him. But both of them did great as Mr. Peabody and Sherman. But Ty Burrell just is... His voice, I feel, is so calming, and it fits so perfectly with Mr. Peabody that just, chef's kiss for...
Dude, he has a great cadence to his voice with Peabody.
Yes!
Like, it is so freaking good. Like, I love, for whatever reason, like, it's not my favorite line or anything, but I love the way that when he was talking about his past and like being adopted, I love the way that he like talks to that kid about throwing the stick. He's like, "Fetch, boy," and he's like, "Why? Aren't you just gonna go throw it again?" Like it's just like the cadence in his voice, and like it's very like matter of fact and very... Monotone is not the right word, because it kind of does have like a... It has moments of like inflection where he kind of has like more enthusiasm behind his tone, but it's very like matter of fact, but like you said, in a, like a calming way.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an interesting voice. Like, Ty Burrell, I freaking love Ty Burrell, dude. Mm-hmm. but
dude, I freaking love the kid though in that scene where he's just like, "I don't want this one, mommy." He's sarcastic.
I know. And then, like, I love the way that he changes his tune. He's like, "Wait, wait!" Like, "I'll fetch.
I'll bark. I'll even shake hands. Bark, bark."
Oh man, but yeah, absolutely agree with your number one. Same with number two. I think Sherman was like, was just a great, he had a solid voice. I mean, it wasn't like anything groundbreaking by any means. Like, I think most of the time with our like top three, I think one and two are usually pretty close. I think in this instance, they're pretty separated.
Fair enough.
Where, like, with some movies, I'll have, like, a number one and then, like, a 1.1.
Yeah.
This is, like, a number one and a number two.
Fair enough.
And then my number three, I'm actually going to give to Stanley Tucci for his Leonardo da Vinci.
I love it.
Yeah.
Excellent choice.
They had, and I think it was just the way that they were playing off of each other between Peabody and Da Vinci. He like almost sounded sad, but it, like a bittersweet voice where he knew what he was saying was like had some sad tones about it, but it was like in a happy way, like kind of like bringing it like the tone back up, like saying something sad but bringing the mood up in a way where it's, it kind of like levels itself out in a way, but there was such an amazing way that he was able to make me feel. Like, it's just like, oh man, like, yeah, this sucks, but I mean, but think about the, like, the excitement, the adventure of this, and all, like, I was like, yeah, getting pumped, but then I'm like, oh, like I said, like, I think I worded it best just saying bittersweet. And I think he was able to portray that, like, amazingly, so that his performance stand out a little bit higher. Like, if he's my number three, Miss Grunion's, like, right there at number four.
Yes, I love it.
But, yeah. So, what are you thinking with acting?
Honestly, I'd say it's my highest one so far, just for how much I loved Ty Burrell. I'm gonna actually go a 91.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not quite as high. There were some extras that I wasn't super impressed with.
Fair enough.
What's his name? Robespierre. I wasn't super impressed. Like, I think he just went a little too heavy on the French accent.
That's fair. Yeah, and I also want to comment. Same thing
with, like, Marie Antoinette.
I feel that's fair. I feel his joke, though, when he said a cantaloupe is the lowest of the fruits, I have to absolutely disagree with him there. It is not.
I'll agree with him on that one. Freaking cantaloupes suck. Dude, I hate cantaloupes. They taste so, like, they're like watermelon's reject cousin.
Oh, dude, okay. That's because you haven't had your bro pick you out the perfect cantaloupe. I'm just saying. If I can
maybe
do that.
Because cantaloupes suck ass.
Okay, you know, okay. wait, no, when I'm out there next, it won't be cantaloupe season. Never mind. Okay, next summer, when I come out, I'm going to pick the perfect cantaloupe from you for the perfect cantaloupe for you from Kroger. And if you hate it still then I'll accept it. But I won't accept your answer until you try a perfect cantaloupe. Deal?
Fine.
Okay.
I've had my mind changed with fruit before, with like mangoes. Or not mangoes, peaches.
Oh. Okay.
So, I'm willing to give cantaloupe another shot, but
Okay.
As of right now, cantaloupe freaking, like, sucks.
You bastard.
Like, the way that I view cantaloupe is the way that I view the cousin that goes to an Ivy League school and comes back and he's just, like, all uppity and, like, all he wants to talk about is freaking Harvard or some shit. Oh, well, at Harvard they do this. And then watermelon's like the
freaking voice.
Yeah. And then freaking like watermelon's like the cool cousin that's like took a year off of school just to like get high and do cool shit.
Dude, that was so funny.
Yeah, I can do voices too.
Well, we need to hear more of them, man.
I get real self-conscious about it.
Nah, dude, I get you.
Yeah, my acting, I'm kind of like, it was nothing too impressive to me, other than Ty Burrell's performance, but everyone else just kind of was maybe average or slightly below. So I think I'm sitting at like an 85.
All right.
Next up, we got character development, which this one I feel like you could have done either Peabody or Sherman.
Yeah, you can.
Like, who did you end up doing?
I honestly did Peabody. What about you?
I was actually leaning more towards Sherman. So you make your argument for yours, and I'll make the argument for mine.
Okay, all right. So with Peabody, I love how we start off with him first finding Sherman in an alleyway, taking him to court, actually being able to adopt him. And I love how he starts it off like firsthand, hey, no, I'm not, you don't call me dad. It's just Mr. Peabody, or in less formal occasions, just Peabody. And throughout the whole movie, I love just seeing their father-son connection just grow and grow and grow. And even, they even have some conflicts along the way, considering that I feel that Penny, like, really sets this all into motion and, like, challenging their father-son dynamic and how Mr. Peabody has to deal with Sherman, getting older and branching off into the world. And like you said, with Leonardo da Vinci and him talking about this and just all that, the whole fight between them and the way back with Mr. Peabody, having to reassure Sherman nothing's going to happen, but then him basically saying, like, hey, no, you just need to stop. I'm not calling you a dog. I'm just saying that you're a very bad boy. But then, them finally reconciling at the end, getting back into their father-son dynamic. And then I love that it ends on Mr. Peabody actually finally saying, I love you, to Sherman, instead of in, towards kind of like the beginning.
I have a very high regard for you.
Yes, yeah. I love that he grows from that to actually saying, I love you. Yeah, and I love that Sherman, once he says that, he just smiles and he's just like, I have a deep regard for you as well, Mr. Peabody. I love that so much. And I freaking love that Peabody's last line is, no doubt about it, every dog should have a boy. And
so, I know, dude, that line was just, it was so freaking sweet.
Yeah, it is. For me, I think Peabody, it's probably not like a super detailed character development, because I feel like he's still a good father at the beginning. But by the end, he's grown to be an even better father. He was never a bad father. It's just he got a little better. He understands his son more, and so.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty decent arc. I went with Sherman, and it's mainly because I know that he wasn't necessarily like the focus of this movie. It was mostly focused around Mr. Peabody, but I think he kind of had a very like indirect character growth that I found really interesting, where he kind of starts off just kind of accepting and doing whatever Mr. Body tells him to. Like, for the most part. I mean, they get in trouble, obviously, because of some things that Sherman does. But I think that, like, he starts off just being, like, this very naive character, not really thinking too much of the world around him. And he's taking in, like, the knowledge, but he's just not making his own choices, it feels like. Because he's always I noticed at the beginning, he was very much what do I do, Mr. Peabody? Like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Like, constantly asking things like that. Where, near the end, he was actually coming up with ideas. Like, it was his idea to jump to the future. It was his idea to, like, fly or whatever the hell. So it was, he kind of came into his own. And then, like, the scene that stands out the most to me is when he's driving to school with Mr. Peabody. He's, like, having this discussion that kind of in relation to, like, or to not to, not relation, to reflect the conversation that they were having earlier, where Mr. Peabody was the one giving him all these notes of what to do throughout the day. It was Sherman giving Peabody the notes of what to do throughout the day. And it was nice, because it felt like Sherman was making his own decisions. And, like, yes, he was growing up and becoming more. And I know that we both freaking hate Penny. But
so much.
She was, like, the driving force for that growth.
That's a good point.
And I really did appreciate that. But again, like, as you said, not the best arc in the world. I'd actually put Mr. Peabody's a little bit higher, especially with how you explained it.
Oh, okay. I feel you explained Sherman's very well.
Yeah, but I mean, his just wasn't, like, top notch or anything.
I get you.
Like, personally, where I would put Sherman's arc about, like, 78,
79. Okay.
And then Peabody's, I'd go a little higher into, like, the 85, 86 range. So I think I'm going to average that out and go into, like, an 82.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you with what you said with Peabody's arc at 85 or 86, and yeah, I'm going to go an 85.
Alrighty, next up we got effects, which this is going to be, like, the animation.
I think they did a great job transitioning for how they looked in the original animated shorts to now, or to this. I will say Sherman definitely had a lot shorter hair in the animated shorts, but I feel that the way that they set him up in this one, I mean, they never touch upon his hair, but I feel that the way that he's animated in this, his longer kind of spiked up hair works. I thought the animation was great. I mean, it's DreamWorks, so you definitely expect their human characters to maybe not look exactly like Pixar human characters. So, like, maybe, like, a little cartoony, but, like, not too much. But, I mean, especially, I mean, Mr. Peabody looked fantastic. I feel that wasn't really that hard. You really couldn't F up transitioning him from the shorts to the movie. But, I mean, even the freaking, like, fur on him looked great. That really stood out. I really don't have a lot of problems with the animation.
Yeah, I didn't have too many. I did kind of... I might be crazy in feeling this, but I felt like the human figure... Like, Mr. Peabody was fine, because Mr. Peabody is already, like, a very stiff character, or comes off that way. But the rest of the people, like the humans, they also felt like they were very stiff in their movements. It was very, like, very upright, like, perfect posture. Which, I know this is, like, a weird gripe, but it just, it felt like everyone was, like, very uniform in their movements. And I felt like they could have gotten away with, like, giving some fresh movement to people, or at least given some variation, because I felt like everyone moved the same. And I don't know, like I said, I think it might be a weird gripe.
I get where you're coming. I mean, I didn't really feel that way, but I can understand where you're coming from. I don't know, I felt the characters all moved in different ways, and I mean, I can see where you're coming from with, like the stiffness, like the standing up posture. Maybe that's what they wanted to set up in this universe, that, like, everyone is, like, so strict except for, or, like, everyone should be, like, standing stiff like that except for Peabody.
Right. I don't know, like, something about that just didn't sit right with... I'm not going to be docking, like, significantly. It's just kind of, like I said, a minor gripe.
Right. Like I said, I get to... I didn't see it, but that's just me. But I can understand where you're coming from.
But yeah, absolutely agree with you. The texturing on the fur and the hair was pretty good. I did learn fairly recently that the technology to do different hairstyles has just, like, very recently come out. Like, with
really?
Like, Encanto's one of the first movies to incorporate the new software for hair.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they're able to do a lot of different hairstyles, like, with curls and wavy hair and all that. And, like, where you'll notice with a movie like Mr. Peabody and Sherman, everyone's hair is usually, like, pretty flat. Like, it's straight hair, or it's up in some sort of do, or, like, whatever. It's usually in an area where there's not a lot of movement. And if there is movement, like, if someone's hair is down, it's not very complicated movement. Whereas, like, hair that's curly is kind of, like, springy. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. And something that I was, like, paying attention to.
I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, kind of a cool fun fact for you.
Yeah.
Where are you at with effects?
I'd say I'm in the high 80s. I'm going to go 87.
I will actually meet you there.
Sweet.
All right, next up we got music. Which,
there was a lot of really...
songs in this that were pretty, like, iconic, but nothing really stood out.
That's true. I mean, I feel the one that stood out for me is, like, the end credits song, Way Back When. I feel it's a pretty damn good song. But, you know, I don't know, other than that, like, nothing hugely really stepped out to me, or stood out to me.
Yeah, I know that they played a lot of clips of songs, but it wasn't, like, big songs. Or it wasn't, not big songs, it wasn't big parts of the scenes. It was just kind of,
yeah,
like...
I getcha.
Maybe, like, flashback moments.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wasn't, like I said, wasn't super impressed. And I think maybe I'm leaning more towards an 8.
I can give you that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Alright, next up we got costumes. So this is more just with an anime movie. For those that don't know, this is like the character design for these characters.
I feel with Mr. Peabody and Sherman transitioning with how they looked in the shorts to here. I love that they really didn't change anything. If anything, the only thing they changed, actually, wait, no, they didn't. Cause I was going to say, Sherman's shoes are different, but no, he basically wore like high top sneakers and that's what he wears here. Just like high top Converse. But yeah, like literally they're transitioned perfectly. Sherman wearing his classic white shirt with black shorts and, you know, of course Peabody with the red bow tie, glasses. Just, they looked great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the character designs worked really well with, like, the other characters worked really well with the world that they set up. But Mr. Peabody and Sherman, like, you can absolutely, like, with the whole silhouette test that I go, you can absolutely tell that it's them.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Easy.
What are you sitting at?
I might be at a 9.
Absolutely agree. Sweet. I was surprised you didn't go to a 10, because I probably would have gone that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just with how iconic they are. Like, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, I feel like they're an iconic duo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think a 9 is pretty fair. All right, last up, we got our own personal score.
You want me to take this one?
Sure. I'll take it.
Overall, I really love this movie. This is one of my favorite DreamWorks movies. I love these characters, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, such great characters, and that they're well utilized in their own movie. And yeah, I know we said some negatives about this movie, but God, do I still love it. So with that, how high do I want to go? Just kidding. I am actually going to go a 91.
Oh, damn.
Dude, I love this movie still.
Shit, like, you're going to make me feel like an asshole. I also really enjoyed this movie. It was, like, not nearly as much as Rose did. It was very enjoyable. It is, like I said, it's just kind of cluttered. There's things that you can kind of pick apart here and there. But overall, like, it's a really good, heartfelt movie. And it's fun, too. Like, from a kid's perspective, like, this is a hell of a good time. And for me, I think I'm like a 79. Like, I know that sounds bad. I know that sounds bad. But
I'm kidding.
That is like the nicest that I could possibly be to that score. Like, I liked it. It's not my favorite animated movie.
I mean, this is not my favorite either, but it's definitely up there. Yeah, for me.
For me, it's middle of the road.
Fair enough.
Like,
fair
it's
enough.
One that I'm not going to be like, oh, I don't want to watch this, but it's also not going to be like my first choice either.
Okay.
So yeah, that's where I'm sitting with it. But that concludes this breakdown. So the final, let me go through the categories first. So starting off with story, we were sitting at an 84.5. Writing is sitting 1 point exactly above that at an 85.5. Acting scored way higher than that, sitting at an 88. Character development brought this movie down a little bit, sitting at an 83.5. Effects brings it right back up to an 87. Music, we said, was an 8. It was pretty good. Just nothing too memorable or special. Costumes, solid 9. From both of us, just because of the iconic look about Mr. Peabody and Sherman. And then our personal score averaged out to an 85. With Rose, like, absolutely loving this film, and me, like, being like, okay, it's all right.
Hey, like you texted me, I have a soft spot for this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Mr. Peabody and Sherman has come to a B+.
Yes!
Yeah, it just cracked B+.
I'm happy. It's a B+.
It was seriously 0.06 away from being a B.
God damn, wow.
It just, like, our cutoff is 86%. This scored an 86.06%.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, it was freaking toit. It made it in, like, right under the freaking wire. But yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's, like, the bottom of our... Apologies, had to pause for a quick second. Anyway, I was absolutely right. So, Mr. Peabody and Sherman is, like, the bottom of our B+.
Sad days.
Yeah. So, Mr. Peabody and Sherman is right below Nightmare on Elm Street, which is at an 86.12%. It is below Spider-Man Homecoming, which is at an 86.22%. It is also below Sing 2, which is at an 86.25%. It is below Captain Marvel, which is at an 86.25% as well. And then it is below The Lego Movie 2, which is at an 86.5%. And then going the opposite direction, the movies that I'm about to list are our B movies, not our B+. So, yeah. Anyway, it is above The Force Awakens, which is at an 85.81%. It's above Halloween Kills, which is at an 85.68%.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
It is above Onward, which is at an 85.67%.
Alright. Wow, it beat a Pixar movie.
Yeah, right? It is also above Cruella, which is at an 85.56%. And then finally, it is above Candyman 2021, which is at an 85.56%.
Okay. Not bad.
Not bad at all. I knew that there you were going to think that it being above Halloween Kills is going to suck.
So I'll accept it.
But yeah. So, that's where it's sitting at. Like I said, sitting at a B+, 86.06%.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'd say that concludes this episode. If you like what you heard and you want to listen to more of our amazing voices, so you can follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Whatever you're listening to this on right now, or, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that fun shit. You can also catch all of our episodes on YouTube if that is your preferred listening platform. You can follow us on all of our social media, where you can DM us with episode ideas, answer our questions of the week when we actually do post them. I should probably stop saying that. But also, if you want to join us, because we would love to have anybody, those are as followed: facebook.com/theallbros, Twitter and Instagram @theallbros, as well as TikTok is @theallbros as well. Or you can email us, theallbroschannel@gmail.com, if that's your preferred way of getting in contact with us. You can check out our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros, where that is the best place to get merch if you do want it, because that is the only place that you can get some of the designs, because copyright sucks. But if you don't want to do that, you can always check out our TeePublic store. And that is tpublic.com/user/theallbroschannel. Next week, Caleb, plan for next?
Okay. Who freaking knows?
We're just going to put it up into the air, and it's just going to be a surprise for everybody. So
we'll get back on like a regularly like scheduled calendar again, but right now I don't freaking know.
And that's okay. Until next time, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we will see you guys next week. Okay, I'm gonna try something new. Let's see if I can, do this. I'm practicing this voice. Ha! See you real soon! How was it?
It was great!
Yes!
I can't top that. Bye.